Thanks to Audible.com for supporting Book Hype. For a free 30-day trial, go to audiblepodcast.com/bookhype. Hey, everyone. I'm Jen, and I'm joined by Kristen, Brittany, and Karen today. We got a full episode. Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hello.
Hi.
Everyone wide awake yet? It's kind of... Well, it's not that early, actually, but...
Yeah, I mean, early. I've been up all night, so I'm ready to party.
I know. Brittany's not feeling so good. All right, so let's get on to what we've been reading, because I missed last week's episode, so I have no idea what you guys have been up to. So why don't you go ahead and tell us what you've been reading, Brittany?
Last week, I mentioned that I started reading Trainspotting and then Porno by Irvine Welsh. And this week, I am halfway through Skag Boys. I read them in the worst order possible. I read Trainspotting, which is the middle book, and then Porno, which is the last book, and then Skag Boys, which is the first book in this trilogy. So I read them kind of out of order, but I kind of don't want them to end because I really like reading about these characters. And then Jen sent me a beautiful package that looked like a golden egg, and inside it had a Harry Potter coloring book, which I'm very excited to get to later today. And I started reading A Study in Charlotte by Brittany Cavallaro because I'm really excited about it, and it comes out this week, so I wanted to get a head start on that. I'm about halfway through. I started reading it last night when I couldn't sleep, and it's great. It's about Sherlock Holmes and Watson's grandchildren in a prep school, which, like, is a combination of all of my favorite things.
It is really good because I also started it. I've yet to finish it, but I also did get it started, and I kind of love it. And Karen, how about you?
Last week, I told everyone that I was reading Aristotle and Dante Discover the Secrets of the Universe, and I finished it this week, and it was as beautiful as I would have thought. And I really, really, really didn't want it to end, but it did, and it's over now. Hopefully we'll be getting, we will be getting more, but
yeah.
Hopefully it's as beautiful and wonderful as the first one. I'm really excited about it. And unfortunately, that's all I read this week because I was super busy.
Okay. How about you, Kristen?
I finally finished. It took me way too long, but I kept having other things creep up that must be read first. But I finally finished I Wish You Were Mine by Lauren Lane. It's book number 2 in the Oxford series. It was so adorable. I just, oh, so cute. It's about Jackson, like a former NFL star who is just, he's a really, really good guy. It was really, really fun. Just the story was really cute. And I also read My Arc of Dirty by Kylie Scott, which, guys, I'm pretty sure is going to be our April book. I haven't decided yet, but I think I'm going to make it our April book. It comes out April 19th, but it's so cute. And it's the beginning of her dive bar series. She just finished stage dive last year. And this book is a lot of fun. And so I'm still debating, but I think this might be it.
I did give Kristen Power of April book choice, so it could be it, guys.
Yeah, I'm you know, evilly considering all of my options. And
yeah, see, every time you offer a book, I end up reading entire series, and then I get off track with what I'm supposed to be reading. It's not okay, Kristen, okay?
Good news is, if we read Dirty, it's the first one, and there won't be any others until she writes them, which she tends to take a little while, so it might be a year. Before she
sees that hurts my feelings, and this is where I got spoiled, because all the other ones you recommended, I could read the first one, and if I liked it, I could just pick up all the rest of them
and
quickly read them all, and that's what I've done so far. So now I'm like, oh, I don't know if I like that idea.
So we'll see. I'm still deciding, but it was really, really fun. And for those that love stage dive, you will love this one too. Like, it's very much in the same wheelhouse, and it's just a really, really fun read.
Okay, well, that sounds fun. I have that one too, actually. I should probably just read it and get it over with.
It's really good.
You're like, it's really good.
It's really good.
All right, I started 2 books this week, and I haven't gotten to finish either one of them. I was really sick, so really the extent of my week was laying in bed. It was pretty exciting, you guys, let me tell you. So much so that I couldn't even, like, hold my book or my iPad to read. It was really, I was pathetic. But I did start reading 2 books. The first one is Jane Steele by Lindsay Fay. You guys, this book, it's kind of like based on the ideas of Jane Eyre. And even in the book, the main character, Jane Steele, mentions Jane Eyre because that novel is all the rage at the time that she's writing down her own kind of memoir. But Jane Steele is basically a serial killer in the 1800s. So it's kind of amazing is all I'm going to say. I love it. It comes out in a couple of weeks and it is just so, so good so far. It's hard to describe and explain without giving too much away, but it's really, really cool. So if you guys like kind of like murder mystery, satire-y, sassy heroine kind of things, like it's all of those kind of glumped into one thing. And it's really cool. I like it a lot. And there are some comparisons to Jane Eyre. Like she was a nanny and all of those things. So it's pretty interesting how she kind of weaves her story about herself in comparison to Jane Eyre. And she's just, you know, a little more crazy. And she murders people. And then I also started reading A Study in Charlotte, which Brittany talked about, and I'm really excited about this book. I think it's a lot of fun. It's set in a Connecticut prep school, which I always find amusing. And so those are the books that I've managed to start reading this week, and they will definitely be finished probably by like tomorrow. But super excited. They're both really good. Study in Charlotte comes out on Tuesday, and then Jane Steele comes out on the 22nd. So those are definitely things to keep your eyes out for. And just as a reminder, our March book, which we'll be discussing at the end of the month, is going to be This Shadow Queen by CJ Redwine. And that's like a retelling of a Snow White story, but it looks really, really cool. So we hope you guys will join us for that. It's pretty exciting. Do we have any other book announcements? And you guys heard Kristen. She's contemplating our April book, so feel free to offer her up suggestions. We do absolutely love to do that. Always suggestions are welcome. So is there any other book item-y things that we need to check off right now? Am I forgetting anything important?
You should listen to our interview with Michael Buckley because it was awesome and so much fun. And he is amazing.
Yes. And, I heard he's petitioning for being a full-time host. I saw that.
I mean, we're not going to turn him away if that's the case. But he has said that he'd like to come back once the final book in the Undertow trilogy is out, so that's pretty exciting.
Yeah,
that's awesome. We would definitely love that. And also, Brittany Cavallaro, who wrote A Study in Charlotte, will also probably be coming on in April.
Awesome.
So to discuss a little Sherlock Holmes action, which, let's face it, that's kind of our thing. So that will be happening, which is super exciting because who doesn't love Sherlock Holmes? So some things to look forward to in the coming months. Very exciting. All right, so let's talk about it. Let's talk about a couple of things, first of all. Have you guys seen the new trailer for Alice in Wonder, or Alice Through the Looking Glass? Is that it?
Yes, with Alan Rickman's narration. It's very painful.
It hurts. It hurts my heart. Well, as you guys know, Audible is always offering free things. So for members of our audience, if you guys haven't heard or listened to the new audio version of Alice in Wonderland, which is coming out just for like the anniversary, it's narrated by Scarlett Johansson, which we love. And you can hear her voice, as Karen pointed out, as the snake in the Jungle Book, which is really cool. I actually noticed it in the trailer the other day, and I really liked her voice a lot. So you guys can get the newest Alice in Wonderland narrated by Scarlett Johansson and her sister as part of Audible's free 30-day trial. You can just go to audiblepodcast.com/bookhype, and you can download that title if you're interested. And considering Alice in Wonderland is a Tim Burton film, I guess we can kick off this episode by talking about the latest Tim Burton film, which is also an adaptation of Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children. So have you guys read this book? Have you guys read Miss Peregrine?
I own it. It's on my bookshelf. I have not read it. But I do own it.
Didn't we? Okay. Didn't we read this? Okay, I was going to say, I'm pretty sure I read this for Book Hype.
You have. I wasn't sure about the others.
This was before my time.
It was.
Yeah, I haven't either.
It was before you.
fathom.
All right. So this book is really, I like this book. It's really cool. And it's very unusual and different. And it's infused, like, if you're actually looking at the novel, it's infused with all these super cool, like, creepy images that are all black and white. And they're just really funky. So basically, this is about this, like, boy who goes on a journey to seek out this orphanage that his grandfather claims to have lived in. And his grandfather had just been murdered. So it's this really twisted kind of young childhood story. But once he gets to the orphanage, he discovers all of these really interesting people and all those different things that are going on, and that his grandfather's stories weren't just stories. So the film is being done by Tim Burton, which of all the people in all the world that could do this kind of adaptation justice, I think it's Tim Burton. Like, he just is very quirky and different. And so I think that out of all the people, he's the one that could get it right. It's starring Asa Butterfield as the lead, Jake. And then Ava Green. Have you guys ever seen Penny Dreadful on Showtime?
No.
Yes. Okay, okay. I haven't seen the show, but I know who Ava Green is. Like, I've seen her in all the promotional stuff.
Yeah, Penny Dreadful is another super, like, really creepy show, and she is one of the leads on Penny Dreadful. So she's also in this movie as well. And she's basically the one who is the guardian of the children. So, I don't know. What do you guys think? You can see some of the images and stuff. It's basically the one image or two images they give us. Oh, no, I lied. There's more than two. Keep going. So what do you guys think? How does it look so far based on what you know about?
The last image is really creepy because I don't like those two clown children. Yeah. And I think the invisible boy looks really well done. Mm-hmm. So I think the clown children are definitely doing their job of creeping me out. So I think this is like right up Tim Burton's alley. Like, he's really good at creating these type of worlds. So I'd be happy to read it before seeing it just to see how it translates. Yeah. But I think that since he's already has a basis of visuals, like you were saying with the book, mm-hmm. I don't think he can go wrong because he's really good at like accentuating all those details.
Exactly. And like literally one of his comments in this article is weird kids. It's something I've dealt with and been interested in for a while. Like, that's literally Tim Burton's statement. Yes.
Kind of his style. Yeah.
Yeah. I also like the image where the girl looks like she's the kite.
Yeah.
It's kind of funky.
All of this looks fantastic. I'm really excited. I think she looks great as Miss Peregrine. Like, creepy, but at the same time, like, just very intriguing. And I'll be interested to see how it actually looks on film, because this is very brightly lit, and I always imagine this, maybe it's because of like all the black and white pictures and stuff, but I always imagine it as a much darker film. I don't know if this is just for the images or if this is actually how the film's going to look like once it's in its finished state, but either way, I think it looks really good. My favorite's definitely the invisible boy right there, because he's so creepy and yet like so cute with his little hat and his little tie. And it's, I really like it. I think it's going to be great.
I am so distracted by the little girl to the invisible boy's left because she, or his right, I guess, but she looks so much like a mini Helena Bonham Carter. Like,
true facts.
If you look at her face, she looks like she's a mini it's so weird. So, and we all know Tim Burton and Helena Bonham Carter have a very long filmography. Like, the two of them work together all the time. So it kind of freaked me out. I was like, oh my gosh, but it looks really cool. And I'm a Tim Burton fan. Like, I've written papers in college on him, and he's a very, very interesting director. So I will definitely be checking it out. Even haven't read the book yet, but I'll try. I promise.
Yeah, it's a pretty quick read, and I mean it's been on the New York Times bestselling list for like ever and a day. Like, it's really impressive how well it's sold and how well it's done. So I think it's definitely worth checking out before the film comes out, just so you can kind of have like an idea of what it, like, how they'll compare, because it's interesting. And they're also saying that Miss Peregrine is the scary Mary Poppins. I think that's funny. Anyway, so this is our first look. I'm super excited to see probably the first trailer, because I don't know. I want to see how he puts it all together and how he makes it work without giving too much away, kind of thing. So we'll see how that goes. Very fun. All right, some more book news. So Marie Lu is writing a new duology. You guys know her from her different series, the and I'm gonna forget what they're called right now because that's where my brain is at.
Legend.
The Legend series. Thank you. I'm thinking, I have like the characters' names stuck in my head, and I'm like, no, it's not Day, and that's not the name of the series, Jen. So the Legend series, which was her first series, and then she's also working on the Young Elites, and the second book in that series, the Rose Society. And now she has a new duology coming out from Penguin, and it's going to be called Warcross, and it's slated for a fall 2017 publication. And it will follow two teenage bounty hunters who are hired by a young billionaire to catch a hacker in the world's most phenomenally popular virtual reality video game. So the video game elements are going to be probably ridiculous, because Marie used to work in the video game realm. That's what she did before she was a writer. She created video games. She was an art director for a video game company. So she's now creating a world in which her writing is going to take place in the world of video games. So I'm sure that it's going to be like some of the coolest, most amazing descriptions ever of a video game, because that's something she very much was a part of and very much understands. So I kind of can't wait to see those elements brought to life by her. In a comment she made, she said, "Warcross is very much a love letter to all of my favorite things. I'm having the most deliriously awesome time working on this new project, and I hope that both past and new readers will enjoy reading this as much as I'm enjoying writing it." So what do you guys think about this new duology from Marie Lu?
I mean, I loved Ready Player One, so the description got me excited that there's another book coming set in virtual reality.
There's a couple out. There's one called Leveler, and it's also the same thing. She's a bounty hunter that goes in to retrieve someone's kid who gets stuck in the virtual world. It's actually pretty good. It came out last summer, maybe.
I'll have to check that out. But I think her, like you were saying, her, since she worked in video games, it'll make for an interesting read because she'll have a lot of insider knowledge.
I love these kind of books and movies and anything that has to do with like going into virtual reality worlds, because I just kind of want that to be real. Like, I want to be able to do that someday, although it usually doesn't end up too well. People die and it's not good, but
It doesn't usually stay too virtual.
I really like the idea of this, like two teenage bounty hunters, young billionaire, they're hackers. I think that sounds really cool. I've never read a book by Marie Lu, but I want to. Like, I feel like I would love her stuff, and I just haven't gotten around to it yet. So maybe I'll start with this. Maybe I'll jump in with one of the other series before I get to this, but this one's definitely capturing my attention.
I think you should read the Legend series. I think you would probably love it.
I think I own some of those books.
I feel like that would be like right up your little dystopian heart alley.
Yes.
Like it would be perfect for you. So
I feel like I got them at BEA. I don't know.
Yeah,
or maybe the Young Elites, like that little, they had like,
they gave out the Young Elites.
Yeah, maybe. I have that. I knew I have something by her from BEA on my bookshelf. Just couldn't remember what it was.
Yeah, I mean, she's a fantastic writer. I mean, her stuff is so good and descriptive, and it's not overly descriptive. You get just the right balance of what you need to know and want to know with, you know, kind of how the story unfolds. Like, it's really cool. She's a very good storyteller, so I highly suggest if you have not read her stuff that you definitely check it out. Definitely worth the read. All right, so moving right along. Have you guys ever heard of Andrea Porteous? I'm not sure. Yeah. She's written books. Her most recent book was The Anatomy of a Misfit by Harper. It came out by Harper this spring. Last winter. And so she is a young adult author, and she writes middle grade as well. And she's going to be pairing up with screenwriter Joel Silverman. And they're basically setting up a gothic series called Henry and Ava as a potential movie franchise. So some of her other books, such as Hick, was published in 2007 and based on a movie was based on it in 2011. Of the same name. This is not one that I've heard of, but it starred Chloe Moretz, Alec Baldwin, Eddie Redmayne, Juliet Lewis, and Blake Lively. So she's already had one movie made or book made into a movie. She's working with Silverman on screenplays for Anatomy of a Misfit and Liberty, which are two of her other books. And now basically her and Silverman are working together to craft, like, basically it's like a package. So it'll be a novel and a script for the multi-book franchise Henry and Ava. And Henry and Ava is set in Big Sur, and it follows a 9-year-old brother and 11-year-old sister as they attempt to solve the mystery of their parents' deaths. And they do their sleuthing under the watchful eye of their greedy uncle and his tacky wife and ghosts. So I think that's kind of interesting. And it says their talents are enhanced by the ability to communicate with ghosts, the first being those of their murdered parents. So, and then the first novel in the series is Henry and Ava, The Castle on the Cliff. So what do you guys think? Like, I think it's kind of interesting that authors are now kind of teaming up with screenwriters to just do the work together in a sense, because it sounds like she's worked with Joel Silverman not only on her two YA scripts or adaptations, but also now she's working on this project with him together completely. So do you guys think that'll be a new trend within, like, the book world?
It's definitely interesting. I mean, adaptations these days, like, I feel like somebody writes a book, gets big enough, like, of course it's going to get a movie deal or a TV series or something. And I don't know, maybe some people are over that whole adaptation thing, but I'm not. Like, it's really special to me that I can read a book, fall in love with it, and then go see the movie version, because as much as I love books, and I do, you know, I have like 4 full bookshelves and lots of books on the floor, I'm not going to lie. Jen, I know you can relate to that. I love movies just as much, and I love watching television just as much. And it's like you kind of get a double dose that way, like you get to relive the first experience twice. So whatever they end up doing with this and however they decide, you know, to go about it and if it'll get enough attention to move forward, like obviously in the way that they're hoping, I'm for it. Like, I think that if people continue to do this, it's really great. And I love when authors work on the screenplays, because I think if authors are invested in the movie version of their story, it's going to just be a better film or television show in general.
Well, and them working together from the start for this new series is really interesting for me. I don't know if that's really been done. I'm sure someone's attempted it over the years, but like writing a series of novels with the intention of them becoming television, not just writing it thinking, oh, someday it would be great to see it adapted, like writing it with that intention, is it's going to be a different, like it's going to change the book itself, like it's going to be a little more visual, like you're going to have more imagery and that sort of thing. So I'm really interested to see how that goes, like how the whole book and the movie go. Like I'm really interested to see both and find out how one can influence the other and whether it's a good pairing or whether that's something that kind of hinders both. Like it's really interesting.
Yeah, I'm usually anti-adaptation lately, just because I would like to read something and keep it to myself. Just one book. That's all I ask for. But I think that this is an interesting concept to have the writer and screenwriter both on the ground floor of a new series, as opposed to like the author coming in and trying to like, you know, say like, this is what I had already produced. Let's try and adapt it. Because sometimes those things fall apart where authors just leave and or things get messy, like with or they have to like suddenly halfway through claim like, oh, I stepped away from that. Like this, that was their fault that they changed all of this because they don't want to have any connection to it, like Divergent, which still not done. I'm like, Divergent's never going to end, I feel like. So I've had like some great experiences with adaptations and some not so great experiences. So I do like that the collaboration is happening so early with this project, and it should be interesting.
The only other kind of scenario or situation that I can think of that is like this is with Nicholas Sparks. He openly admits that now when he writes novels, he looks at them differently and writes them differently because he writes them with the expectation that they will be adapted. So, because we, a while back, we had interviewed him for When the Longest Ride came out, and he discussed how, like, in the beginning, he just wrote novels to write the story. But now that almost all of his books have been made or, you know, are being made into film, as he comes out with new novels, he assesses them differently and he writes them differently than he would have necessarily in the past. He writes more mindfully about what it would look like on film. So, I mean, I think that's an interesting way to do it. If you know your books are going to be adapted, then, you know, you're going to tell a better story for the screen than just on the page, which is, you know, something I guess to consider. So I don't know. I don't know if this is something more authors would do or not, or how it'll pan out in the end, but it's kind of interesting. And it's also interesting that so many of her items have been optioned, because I can't say that I've necessarily, like, I don't think she's someone we've heard about a lot of in the YA world per se. Like, I know Anatomy of a Misfit, and I didn't read it. I don't think. It was a while ago that it came out. But I can't say that her name is something that is synonymous with young adult novels. Do you know what I mean? It's not like Marie Lu or, you know, or some of the other names you think of as really popular in young adult literature. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how this one plays out. And I was reading some of like what Liberty is about, because Liberty was optioned by Fox and with Temple Hill, which is Whit Godfrey, as to set up the project. And it's about a college student recruited by the CIA to work on the case of her parents, journalists who were kidnapped while covering the civil war in Libya. I mean, it sounds like a cool story. I would read it / watch it, you know, so
I'll follow Whit Godfrey to the grave.
I know. Karen is like, I am sold on him. Yeah, he does some pretty good stuff, you guys. I'm just saying. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how this one plays out and to see, like, the stories that she's writing about sound really good. Like, I like the sound of the novels and stuff that she's written. So can't hurt, right? So I guess we'll see where that one takes us and see how other authors kind of respond as they move forward with this sort of project. Very interesting. And I know, Brittany, that you brought up Divergent and Allegiant Part 1.
There's so much to
I know. Is coming out in
this month, I think.
Yeah, it's coming out in like a week or two. I think it's the 18th or something like that. So are you guys going to go see it? Like, how invested are you in this business?
I'm invested in Theo James's face, not so much the story.
He's not invested in Theo James's face.
And they know that, because the only marketing that I've seen for this is focused on them making out. Mm-hmm. And it's so sad.
Pretty much. Yeah, I still haven't read it.
Me neither.
I feel like a fraud because I really liked the first two, but I got wrapped up in a million other things and didn't get to read it right away. And then everyone I knew had read it, and like half of them were going, just skip it. Don't pay any attention. And so it's just gotten buried in my to be read pile. And yeah, so I still haven't read it, and I don't know if I should read it before or if I should just go see it and then deal with the other later. I don't know.
I feel like they're going to be changing some things around just based on the way that the other one ended.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say honestly, just go see it and then read it after.
I don't know if I care either way. Like, I don't.
But the ending might be different. Who knows? But you'll have 2 years to figure that out.
The thing is, like, Divergent was so good. Like, I really loved Divergent, the book. And the movie was pretty good, too. Like, I didn't mind it at all. I didn't really like Insurgent. The movie was better than the book, in my opinion. But, like, I'm one of those people that, okay, I own Divergent, so therefore I must own the rest of the movies in the series. And I still haven't picked up Insurgent. Like, I don't really care anymore. And I haven't read Allegiant. I don't know if I want to. I mean, I guess I want to eventually, but it's not, you know, burning a hole through my bookshelf. And the movie, like, the first time I watched the trailer for that movie, I was with Kristen. We were at the movies for something else. And we're like, oh, here's the trailer. We haven't watched it yet. I think, Kristen, you were kind of avoiding it, right?
Yeah, I tend to avoid trailers for movies I know I'm going to see anyway, just because that way I don't have all the jokes ruined and things like that. So I hadn't gone looking for it. And yeah, so this was the first time seeing it, and it was fine.
I didn't watch it because I didn't care. And then I watched it and still didn't care. So I kind of don't know what to do.
I mean, it's hard. I think it feels like it's been dragged out a really long time. And I think everyone's pretty, I think part of it is when Allegiant came out, people were so angry. And we've talked about this a lot. There was a lot of anger when it came to that book, like hate and anger towards the author, towards the book, so many things. And so I think the studio reacted to that and is trying to change the way the book ended. I'm not going to lie. I really, if the movies don't end differently from the book, I will be shocked. Quite frankly.
I will be too.
So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I have no desire to go to the movie theater and see it, but.
Me either. I think it's going to be an HBO. Wait till it just comes on randomly one day. And I'm like, oh, right. I never saw this.
I still haven't seen the last part of the Twilight series, so we'll just put it that way. Apparently, I'm really bad at this.
Kristen just doesn't want it to end. It's okay. She doesn't want to own the ending. It's fine. Well,
the funny thing is I own the Blu-ray. I just still haven't watched it.
Oh, like,
it's
my God.
It's sitting on my shelf.
Wow.
That is fantastic.
I'm not watching it with you.
Oh, come on. There can be wine involved.
Only if there's a lot of wine involved.
It'll probably make it better. Anyway. All right. So, guys, let us know if you're watching Allegiant or if you see it and what you think, because I'm totally curious. So if you guys are heading out to the theater to see Allegiant in the coming weeks, let us know, because clearly we will not be. All right. So moving right along, let's talk a little bit about BEA, which is slowly on the horizon. BEA is going to be in early May this year, and it's going to be in Chicago, which is so inconvenient.
But exciting, so, because I love Chicago.
I do like Chicago. I do. It's just, it's so much harder to get to.
You have to get all of those books back.
Yeah, you have to mail them, and it becomes expensive, and ugh. Anyway, so BEA has released their Book Buzz panels for 2016. So essentially what happens is every year at BEA, there are buzz panels. There's adult, YA, middle grade, and I think that's it. And these are the books that the authors usually come and talk about a lot. The editors are up there, like, pushing and talking all about them. And just so you guys have kind of an idea of why this is a big deal, 9 of the previous buzz titles selected over the past 2 years have appeared in the New York Times bestseller list. So this is, like, really the first chance for people to really talk up what they feel will be the next big books coming out of their respective areas. So the adult editors buzz panel will include Another Day in the Death of America by Gary Young, Dark Town by Thomas Mullen, History of Wolves by Emily Friedland, Little Deaths by Emma Flint, The Mothers by Britt Bennett, and The Knicks by Nathan Hill. Some of these books do not come out until 2017, which seems excessive, but there you have it. So those are the adult editors' book choices. The YA editors panel will consist of Caraval by Stephanie Garber, Stalking Jack the Ripper by Carrie Mascalco. It's a tricky last name. Ronnie Patel in Full Effect by Sonia Patel. Spontaneous by Aaron Starmer. And Thieving Weasels by Billy Taylor. And then the middle grade Editor Buzz panel will be Frazzled by Bookie Vivat, Gertie's Leap to Greatness by Katie Beasley, The Adventurer's Guide to Successful Escapes by Wade Albert White, The Lost Property Office by James R. Hannibal, and Time Traveling with a Hamster by Ross Walford. Time Traveling
with a Hamster. I'm calling it right now. That's the biggest book of 2016.
Oh, I love it. So if you guys are interested in learning more about those books, give Google a quick little test out and see what you guys can come up with. I think they're really interesting. And I think the YA panel is particularly interesting because a lot of the books are not from the big six pub houses. They're from definitely different pub houses that I've not necessarily heard of. So it'll be interesting to see what comes out of that batch in particular.
I'm definitely eyeing Stalking Jack the Ripper just because that, like, sounds like it's right up my alley. And also, that comes from James Patterson's YA imprint, Jimmy Patterson.
It does.
Which is, I mean, that, I don't know. To me, that I feel like you should put a little bit of faith in that then.
I mean, yeah. I have issues with James Patterson on some levels, but on other levels, he does some really great things. Mm-hmm. He gives away a lot of money to independent bookstores and to schools and to, so while he has his like downside, he also is very charitable with all of his money he makes. So
yeah, I'm not a huge fan of the way that he writes his books and like collaborates with some people and has like, you know, ghostwriters and stuff, but
yeah,
I do. I mean, you can't argue with the results, I guess.
No. And like I said, he is very charitable. He did this whole initiative for independent bookstores and he gave them all kinds of money. And there are all kinds of grants that you could get if you were a public school. And so he's done a lot of really, really good things with the money he's made. So you can't really complain too much, I guess. All right. Moving right along from the book buzz. Let's talk a little comic book action. So Star Wars fans, are you ready? Because there's going to be a new Star Wars comic coming out in, it looks like, June. And it's going to be written by Marjorie Liu. I think that's how you say her name. And Liu. Is it just Liu? Okay.
I think so.
I'm not good with names. I'm going to be real honest. And this particular comic is going to be about everyone's favorite space rogue, Han Solo. So it says, in June, Marvel Comics is giving Star Wars fans a new look at his reluctant shift from so-so smuggler to pretty good guy with his own miniseries set between the events of the original 1977 film and The Empire Strikes Back. So there have been four other previous limited books that have followed this character, but this is specific to that time frame between the first film and The Empire Strikes Back. So this is a Han Solo who doesn't quite know who he is anymore, says writer Marjorie Liu, a veteran comic book scribe best known for Astonishing X-Men and Monstress. He doesn't think about politics, and suddenly he's thrust into this life-or-death struggle for beliefs he didn't even know he cared about. And it has changed him. He doesn't want to believe that change, but he has. So, there you have it. There's going to be some new Han Solo stuff out. And I think we can all admit, like, Han Solo may be a fan favorite, just a little.
I mean, I guess yes, for some people.
You don't like Han Solo?
No, I don't really care about Star Wars. I haven't, like, been quiet about that. The Force Awakens was incredible and has made me want to go back and watch all of the originals and stuff, but Han Solo never, like, meant anything to me, so I don't necessarily care about this comic. I do care about Marjorie Liu, however, because I think she's incredible. I really like Monstress. And so as soon as I saw this, I was like, yes, she's doing something else, you know, and she's doing Star Wars, which is a pretty big deal. And I've heard that her work on Astonishing X-Men is really fantastic. So I'm kind of invested in it because of her. I don't know if I'll actually pick it up because Han Solo doesn't really mean anything to me. But I was not disappointed, but the illustrator for this is going to be Mark Brooks, who's done some stuff on Amazing Spider-Man, Uncanny X-Force, which is, like, fantastic and really exciting, but I really like who she works with on Monstress, Sana Takeda, and so I was like, darn, it's not going to be her again, because I think they make a fantastic team, but it'll be cool to see. They've got in this article what the cover looks like, who's actually, it's by somebody else. The cover is by Lee Bermejo, but it'll be cool to see what it actually ends up looking like.
Yes. It sounds like a really cool, like, plot line for him. So it says the story involves a starship race known as the Dragon Void Run. Han has been dreaming of entering this thing for his entire life, Lou says. He finally gets the chance, except there's a catch. Leah thinks there are spies in the rebellion, and she doesn't dare send anyone else to retrieve these vital informants who are on various planets in the system. As Han and Chewie start sheltering these rebel contacts aboard the Millennium Falcon, the Corellian pilot fights the pull of his own ego's tractor beam. If he ditches the mission, maybe he can actually win this thing. So it sounds fun.
And on the second page, you can see illustrations from Brooks for what it might look like on inside. And it looks pretty great. And Leia looks amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty gorgeous, I'm not going to lie. So I am sure there will be plenty of people excited about this, even though Karen is not.
Definitely. I mean, I've never seen Star Wars, so I'm indifferent.
Oh, my. All hate mail, please direct to Brittany Lovely. That would be Brittany Lovely.
Look, I haven't gotten kicked off of Hypeable yet, so it's fine.
I mean, I'm pretty sure Andrew still hasn't seen them, so.
All right, good.
I thought Andrew did.
Did he finally?
No. I thought he might have before The Force Awakens.
Yeah, I thought before The Force Awakens, he, like, buckled down and did it because he had to. So funny.
I love that it's, like, a chore. Like, the most of the pop culture world is, like, Star Wars.
I know.
I think it's hilarious. I've seen, like, them all because my brothers... Yeah, like, growing up, my brothers loved them. So I've seen them all a couple of times. And they're not, like, my favorite movies ever. But, you know, like... I understand why people love them.
I do love them. I think it's just the kind of family I grew up in. Like, Star Wars is what we watched when we were little. I don't know. Anyway, moving right along off of the Star Wars talk, let's talk about Nancy Drew. That's exciting, right? Totally different. But CBS is creating an adult version of the Super Sleuth Nancy Drew, and it will be a TV show, and they have cast their grown-up Nancy Drew, and she will be portrayed by Sarah Sahi. You guys have seen her in Person of Interest and maybe The L Word. So, Karen, I see that you wrote the article, so do you want to tell us a little bit about this Nancy Drew business?
Yes, this is actually the first that I had heard about this adaptation at all, and I'm like 100% invested now. I think it sounds really cool. So basically, they're saying that the show shows that Nancy, now in her 30s, is serving as a detective for the NYPD, where she investigates and solves crimes using her uncanny observational skills, all while navigating the complexities of life in a modern world. And I guess, like, Nancy joined the NYPD after college. She was named the youngest female NYPD homicide detective. She was a star until she arrested the wrong guy, publicly called out on it, and quit the force. And now she's trying to find a way back to being the person that she was before. And this is really exciting for a lot of different reasons. First of all, it is set in the modern world, so we also get to see, like, Nancy Drew grown up, and I think that's fun. And also, Sarah Shahi is of Iranian and Spanish descent, and so she's not white. And the creator of the series has talked about really wanting to reflect New York City and the different cultures that are there and just the modern world in general. So it's going to be a very diverse show. And I think in light of all of the controversy that's been going on with, like, the whitewashing of Gods of Egypt and the Oscar so white stuff, it's really fantastic to be able to write a story like this. So I'm really excited.
Also, she is amazing, and I love Person of Interest so much, which it's not coming back. I'm just, they filmed season 5. CBS is refusing to give it to me. They're holding it hostage. I am very upset about it because it's going to be the last season. But at least I still have Sarah in my life going on to Nancy Drew. And I think it's going to be awesome because on Person of Interest, she's also like an operative and she's just so aggressive and mean, and like, she's just a great character, and she does work with the NYPD. And so to put her back in that type of world and also still be in New York, I think is going to be awesome.
It's interesting too. I actually just opened the comments on my article. Hadn't read them before. A lot of people aren't excited. They're saying, really, Nancy Drew working for the NYPD? Part of the Nancy Drew fund was that she was a kid or a teen adult who wasn't a cop solving mysteries. And someone else just says, this sounds terrible.
I mean, I guess I can see that. CBS is very into their New York City Police Department shows. Well, there's a lot of them. They're really into procedurals. But I don't know. I guess that's the only way they could pitch it, maybe. Like, they already have a couple of shows that deal with consultants, Elementary. So she couldn't consult for the NYPD. I don't know. I mean, I'm excited just because I like Nancy Drew books. Mm-hmm. So
it feels very kind of bland and straightforward right now, except for the casting. Like, it feels pretty standard, the plot idea.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that once we actually see it, it'll give us something really different, because there are a lot of procedurals out there. And I think having that twist is what's going to make it land.
Yeah, because I think, like, they have Elementary with, like, the, you know, unorthodox, like, you know, detective with, like, mm-hmm. awesome abilities. And then they have Limitless, which is also a procedural, which is, like, the crazy guy who takes this awesome drug and is, like, has unnatural abilities to solve things. So it's, like, we already have that. What is Nancy Drew going to, like, she's a detective with an unnatural ability to solve mysteries. Like, okay.
Right.
That's the third show you have in your lineup. If it threatens Elementary, I'm going to be very upset.
Well, I think that CBS, like, lives for their procedurals.
Oh, that's, they do.
I mean, that's basically what they consist of.
Didn't know it was still showing new episodes. It is.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of it's not just, I mean, I would say, what, 80% of their lineup is procedural?
Mm-hmm. And then they have that, like, one comedy block that carries the network.
Right. They have all of their NCIS branches. They're coming out with another Criminal Minds branch.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, they have CSI. That's essentially their lineup on any given night. Is a procedural, another procedural, and maybe one more procedural for fun. I mean, it's just...
Unless you're Elementary, and then they stick you at the end of Thursday Night Comedy. which is like,
yeah, I, yeah,
but it's moving to Sundays, guys. It's moving to Sundays.
Interesting choice.
I'm excited. Put it with some draws.
All right. So it'll be interesting to see how Nancy Drew does. I'm curious to see where they go with it, I guess. Happily optimistic, I guess, is what we'll go with. All right. So moving right along, one last bit of news. For those of you who love the X-Files, Macmillan Children's Publishing is releasing two new young adult novels focusing on Fox and Fox Mulder and what's her first name? Thank you, Dana Scully. I'm like, yeah, that one. So here's what's going to happen. Basically, there have been lots of novels released in the past. This specific set of novels, it's going to be one focused on each character. And the first one is going to be Agents of Chaos. It's going to be written by Kamei Garcia, who wrote Beautiful Creatures. And it will tell the story of the 17-year-old Mulder. And then the second novel is Devil's Advocate. And it's going to be written by Jonathan Mauberry. And that one will be about the 15-year-old Scully. They'll both be set in 1979, when, according to Macmillan Children's Publishing, there will be stories about occult, serial murder, and government conspiracies in the news. So, there, for those of you who love the X-Files, you'll get two new novels about each of the agents involved. They will not, as far as I can tell, they will not be together in the novels.
Yeah, no,
it'll just be a novel about each of them separately.
Yeah, I watched all, the only X-Files I've ever seen are all of the 2016 episodes, which is not how you should watch the X-Files, I guess. But I really liked, except for the last episode, I really enjoyed it. And I will probably read these. I don't think I'm going to watch The X-Files because aliens scare the crap out of me. but I will probably read these. And I think it's interesting that Kamei Garcia is writing Mulder and Jonathan's writing Scully because they're writing the opposite sex, which I think is it's interesting. So I'm excited to read both of these because like, these are origin-type stories, so, like, I don't have to know anything about what happens, I think, to read them.
Yes, pretty much. You don't really need to know anything. It's just about these two characters kind of in a time frame where they were beginning to explore the supernatural, I guess. So it'll be cool. I think it's interesting. And I like that. I love Jonathan Mauberry's writing. I think it's super cool. And so I'm really curious to see what he does. And Kamei's written some really cool stuff, too. She writes a lot of supernatural, so I could definitely see how this would fit her background writing. So kind of excited to see where these two take these characters and these stories. All right, so let's get to some listener feedback. First of all, let's see. We have a tweet from Kate/Killy. And it says, are you guys going to check out BBC's adaptation of Agatha Christie's And Then There Were None on the 13th and the 14th? It's on the USA Network Lifetime. I've already seen it, and it's fantastic. Well, I didn't know about it, but now that you mentioned it, I will definitely put it into my DVR. I think it's really cool that they've done a little Agatha Christie thing. I think it's interesting that Lifetime is picking it up as a BBC adaptation. Because usually Lifetime is known for its more scandalous TV shows, perhaps, is the best way to put it. So I don't know. What do you guys think? Are you going to check out Agatha Christie's And Then There Were None?
All right. Full disclosure, I've already seen it because I was so excited for it to come out. And then I realized that it already aired in the UK. And then I streamed it on my BBC iPlayer link. And it is incredible. I loved it so much. I watched it around Christmas time, and it's so good, guys. I didn't know that it was coming here, like, to be on US TV. Otherwise, I would have just been like, oh, I'll wait, like a Downton Abbey type of thing. But I didn't know that it was ever going to air in the US, so I immediately had to watch it. And it was so good. Because all of a sudden, I see these advertisements being like, oh, and this Agatha Christie adaptation. I'm like, oh, we're doing an Agatha Christie adaptation? And then I saw the cats, and I'm like, oh, I've already seen this. It's so good. It's the opening credit sequence is so cool. Oh, it's so good. It's only 3 episodes though. Well, 3 episodes. So they'll probably air it over like they'll do. I don't know how they're going to air it, but it's like probably 3 hours long. It's good.
Mm-hmm.
I highly recommend it.
Well, I'll be plugging that into my DVR then, most definitely. Very excited. Thank you for letting me know, Kate, because I would have missed it and wouldn't have gotten to see it. And then I would have been very sad. How about you, Karen or Kristen? Are you guys going to check it out?
I have never read Agatha Christie. I own a couple of her books, and it's something that I've been wanting to get into. But yeah, I mean, maybe. I don't know. Do you think that I need any previous knowledge, or does it work really well as just
No. You could just watch it.
Cool. Then, yeah, maybe I will.
We should DVR that.
We should.
See? It's all about the DVR, and then you can get to it when you have time. I'm telling you. It's the way to go. All right. So, as we said earlier in the episode, our March novel is going to be by CJ Redwine, and it's The Shadow Queen, and we'll be discussing that at the end of the month. And Kristen will let us know what our April book of the month is going to be, and we'll announce that shortly. And then we will continue to go from there. And if you guys have any suggestions for books or topics you want us to discuss, please make sure you tweet them to us. We'll be happy to check them out. So until next time, I'm Jen.
I'm Brittany.
I'm Karen.
And I'm Kristen.
Goodbye, guys.
Bye.